Welcome, one and all. This is the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. It is Saturday, August 17th. I'm Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas, sending my voice through the interwebs to Michael W. Dean. Where you at, Mr. Dean?
I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And today we have some live man on the street, or actually person in the field interviews.
Person in an open field being shot with,
with a
BB gun.
Yes, coming live from the Kickspit Underground Music Festival in Michigan. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. No, it's the Midwest Peace and Liberty
Peace
event. Yeah, and we've got some live interviews from there. And who might we have there on the phones? Let's bring him on. Hello, caller.
Hey, this is Ben.
Hey, Ben. Ben, the bad Quaker Stone.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's up with you?
We had a much better system here set up, and then the computers decided to leave us high and dry, so we're having to call on a cell phone.
Yeah, I know. We had the Rolling Stones mobile unit we'd rented for the day, or something very much like it, out in the field, and we tested it yesterday, and it sounded like you were sitting in the studio here like so much that I could feel your beard rubbing against my head, and it made me irritable. But no, it was that good. So we have you on phone today. What's up, Ben, and who are the interviews that we're going to do today? Give me the names.
Well, I can't quite do that, but I can tell you the first person we have is Lou, and you know Lou pretty well, so I'll just hand the phone to him.
All right.
I'll get back to the technical end of this, trying to get us connected back to a real sound.
Excellent. Hey, Lou, we got Lou there from the Kickspit Underground Music Festival in Michigan. Lou.
This is Lou Sander Fiend, and I am broadcasting live from a windowless campground in a rural, unoccupied territory north of the Windowless City, also known as the Failed State Project, Detroit. How you doing, boys?
Good. So what are the events at the festival? Do you have, like, mimes walking around on stilts and everyone gets a pitchfork, or how's it work there?
Well, last night we had pitchforks and torches, and we were chasing status around, and then we roasted marshmallows.
Roasted status.
Basically the usual Saturday or Friday night stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody gets a pitchfork and some fiends buttons, right?
Fiends buttons are flying around all over the place. State speeches, hate speech is very popular. We do have a token constitutionalist who we will be covering in the We the Sheeple, For Sheep, By Sheep, On Sheep buttons, whether he likes it or not.
That's the peaceful version of a tar and feathering. You just pin the By Sheep, For Sheep, On Sheep buttons all over his clothing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very good time out here. Mostly what we were doing yesterday was getting set up and going around. Everybody was introducing themselves to each other. The campground is kind of sectioned off. Well, first of all, it's a rustic campground, so it's all open and no set sites. But we got one group over that is Agora Mountain, and they're going to be selling organic chili this evening, and they got a bunch of other goods for sale. There's a guy who does rock carving, and it's a pretty intricate process. Then we also have another section with the hippie bluegrass folks. Chris is over there. You'll get to talk to him in a couple minutes. And then there's the elitist snob section that's back in the woods, and Katie's over there with a couple of other people. Their noses are in the air, but they decide they will grace us with an interview.
What is the elitist snob section? Go elaborate.
It's actually a very nice section that's back in the woods and not out in the open. So it's a very beautiful area, but they're getting chewed up by mosquitoes.
So is it people who aren't that used to camping, and they brought, like, all you know, generators and flat screen TVs, or what do they got there?
No, it's just a really, really nice place to camp.
Oh.
And we just going to fit everybody back there. Otherwise, it would have been awesome.
Cool. But, what else you got?
And then you guys on private land out there, or what?
No, we are gobbling up state resources.
And you're commandeering it for the public good.
We are using these state resources more than other people are. You know, because we're just putting so much more effort into using them up and enjoying it.
Is it a gun friendly? Are there guns there? Is it a gun friendly event?
I don't. Well, as far as we're concerned, it's gun friendly. As far as the nanny craft, I can't honestly say how they feel, but I haven't really asked them, nor do I care.
So it sounds like there's a peanut gallery laughing in the background. Who are those people, and should we get some of them on?
Yes, we have Chris, who you know from the Freedom Fiends fan page. We have Katie Testa, who you'll be speaking to about Free Detroit. And we have Brant, who came. He's a groupie. He came up from Indiana. He's a soon-to-be fiend. And, oh, incidentally, one of the most common phrases I've heard this weekend is, I don't know what that is.
As a fiends reference? Anyway. As a fiends reference? Or just, I mean, is that catching on because of the fiends, or just no one there knows what anything is? What are you saying?
Both.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So there's some confusion, but it's a good thing. Well, you know, the new name for the fiends is confirmation bias theater. But that's because we really know we're right, whether we are or not. That's the opposite of I don't know what that is. So why don't you put Katie on? Is Katie ready to talk?
Yes, she is. Oh, and by the way, fiends are experts in everything that is right.
There you
Here's
go.
Katie.
I like that. All right. We're going to have – you want to introduce Katie here, Nima, even though you don't know who she is?
Yes. This is a person named Katie that was just handed the phone by Lou. How's it going, Katie? Why don't you introduce yourself?
It's going wonderfully. This is Katie Testa. I'm the co-founder of the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition and also host of The Local Focus and a Free Detroit participant. And I'm here at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which is awesome.
Okay, well, tell us about Free Detroit. You know, people have been talking about that. People have been talking about Detroit in general. I am of the mind that Detroit is an opportunity for anarchist and freedom-loving people to fill in the gaps that the state is leaving gaping. What's your thoughts on Free Detroit? What are the goals, and where is it headed?
Well, I think we are in agreement. It's absolutely a wonderful opportunity because the individuals who are living in Detroit right now are really witnessing the fact that despite paying, you know, twice the amount of taxes as anybody else in the near proximity, the government just can't seem to effectively provide services that they need. And so by necessity, they're having to fill in the gaps on their own. There's a lot of entrepreneurs coming in who are, you know, private security forces, transportation. There's all kinds of different things springing up. So I think it's really unique for individuals who understand the philosophy of voluntarism and self-ownership and agorism to go there and connect the philosophy with what these people are already doing so that they can see that the reason why things aren't working really is because of the government.
Hey, Katie, are you involved with the Trumbullplex at all?
I'm not, no. I'm pretty sure that they're mostly ANCOMs, so we kind of disagree on that, but yeah.
Yeah, they're a bunch of commies. You know, for commies, they're pretty nice people. I actually did a showing at the Trumbullplex about 8 years ago of my film DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And they were polite. They were, I was eating a hot dog and they got mad at me. They were vegetarians and were mad at,
Because you're not a veggie. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of felt like I needed a tetanus shot after being there. It was kind of dirty, but you know, they have been living outside the state in, you know, in Detroit, like in the city, not out in the sticks, for, you know, over a decade. So I wonder what their feeling is about Detroit or Free Detroit. Have you talked to them about it?
I've yet to talk to them. There's another anarcho-communist community called Fireweed University, which I've gone and spoken with them a number of times. And even though we disagree on a few things philosophically, I think the idea itself is really well received and there's room enough for everybody. And we agree on, you know, enough of the basic stuff that I think that they would welcome us, though.
Well, are there ANCAP alternatives? Are there stuff for market lovers? I mean, you mentioned transportation and private security, stuff like that. But what about living situations? I've also heard of, you know, urban farming. What kind of success stories can you point to that are maybe tied to the more market-based realities and philosophy?
Yeah, I think all of the things that you just mentioned, there's the Threat Management Center, which is a private security operation who's been incredibly successful. There's the Detroit Bus Company, which is an example of the transportation situation. There's a whole huge urban agricultural movement going on down there. You can drive through neighborhoods of just blighted homes and empty fields and then come across cows. And there's even like mixed hardwoods planted. There's a lot of individuals and companies coming in and purchasing the land as opposed to squatting on it and doing productive things with it. So I think there's absolutely a unique opportunity for market-oriented people to come in and do things legitimately by purchasing the property and then, you know, filling in the gaps in the market where there's demand for it.
Right. What about regime uncertainty? Like, what if people put all this effort into making it a good place without state help or intervention, and then the state says, oh, your property rate, you know, your property value has gone up, and then what if they raise the property taxes to 75% per year or something? Is that a fear?
You know, I'm not personally concerned about that, and Free Detroit is really, you know, a group of individuals who are going to make their own choices about how much compliance they would like to, or how much they want to submit to the government. I know there are people who are intent on not paying property taxes at all. I think that there are probably some different strategies that people will come up with to help those people stay where they're at. But yeah, that's not a personal fear of mine.
How scary is Detroit now? Like, can you walk around there unarmed, or is that not recommended?
I go there without being armed. I think that really that's part of this myth that it's super, super dangerous. It definitely has a reputation, and I think statistically, yeah, you are more likely to be involved in a violent crime or crime against your property than elsewhere, but I think really it's about how you carry yourself, if you're knowledgeable about self-defense, and just common sense, really. I mean, don't engage in illicit activities with people who don't, you know, they don't share your values. I think I have yet to not feel safe going there.
All right.
Excellent.
We'll be back.
Thank you so much. We'll be back with more freedom in Michigan after we go to the market.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. I'm in Austin, Texas. Michael's in Wyoming. But we've also got folks on the line with us in Michigan. There's a big Freedom Festival out there, people celebrating liberty and freedom from state tyranny. Now, that seems to be the big distinction, I think, in life today. L. Neil Smith recently wrote an article basically saying that will be the defining factor. I would say it has been for decades, if not centuries, if not ever. The big distinction between freedom and non-freedom. So we have,
if you want a stateless paradise, move to Somalia. And actually, the United States is installing a state in Somalia. So I'd say if you want a stateless paradise, move to Detroit.
Well, I like the way Scott Horton framed the whole Somalia thing and Americans' foreign policy to it. Is basically like, imagine in Iraq, if there was the whole Iraq war and all those people died, and then at the end the Americans were like, well, they put Saddam Hussein back in power. It's like, well, you can have your old dictator back anyway. That's sort of what happened in Somalia. So Katie, right? Katie?
Yes. Yes, Katie? It's Katie. Katie Testa.
Yes. Katie Testa. How do you spell Testa?
T-E-S-T-A.
Where can people find you online, and where can people find Free Detroit online before we continue?
You can find me on Facebook as Katie Voluntarius Testa. You can also go to the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition's website at miplc.org, or Free Detroit's website, which is livefreedetroit.org, or just search Free Detroit in Facebook, and the page will pop up.
Ah. Okay. So here's the thing. The people of Free Detroit, they obviously love freedom. That's why they named their thing Free Detroit. And the whole point seems to be, we don't need the state. We don't need these people that suck up the tax dollars and are parasites and provide poor service. Instead, we can have people that are entrepreneurs, people who maybe they're cool with making a buck, but at the same time, they make a buck by providing a real service that people want to buy. And that's sort of the nut of the whole philosophy, is that things are voluntary and people reward you for providing a good service, your value added kind of a thing. Now, is the average person in Detroit starting to see this as a reality in their life, that non-government entities, non-state entities are providing service that is actually better than maybe the metropolitan state-funded bus system or the monopoly government-run police? Is regular person who, with no thought to philosophy, are they getting on board with this Free Detroit thing?
To be honest, I don't think that we are quite there yet. I think the majority of people would still like more government, tragically. But you can connect with any regular person on the street with something that they value, and have a conversation with them about how mutually beneficial voluntary exchange would work in the areas that they're specifically concerned about. And in general, the people that I've talked to have been very receptive to that concept. So
excellent. So there's still a lot of actual education or marketing, if you will, to be done before people really get it and jump on board with you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what does the future hold, do you think? What are the next steps?
Well, right now we are kind of sifting through data in terms of neighborhoods, properties, trying to find the most ideal location. There's an auction coming up, actually two auctions through Wayne County this fall that we will be going to, and anybody who's interested in participating. And that's really the next step, is to identify the most ideal location to actualize these ideas, where we can connect with the community that's already established and get this thing started. So,
location for what? Like a headquarters? Central headquarters? What do you mean?
The idea is to have enough individuals who understand that mutually beneficial voluntary exchange is the best, most ideal way to get our needs met in a concentrated, high enough density level that we can have a connected community feeling and also affect cultural change in the area that's going to kind of ripple out. So for all those average Joes to be able to witness people who are getting their needs met outside of the context of the government in entrepreneurial ways, where nobody's being forced to choose any particular service or product, and I'm really just putting it into action. So,
okay, like a place where people would live? Are we talking about a community here, like a microcosm of a libertarian paradise?
Yeah, I guess so. And not everybody involved would necessarily live there. I think there are people who would be interested in investing. So,
all right, excellent. We'll go ahead and pitch yourself one more time. Give a plug, and we'll have somebody new at the end of this market break.
Okay, this is Katie Voluntarius Testa from the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, Free Detroit, and the Local Focus. And thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is the Freedom Fiends, Freedom Fiends Live Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's good. We have not been droned yet, and this is like not episode 251 or 2. I don't even know anymore, man. Apparently, I don't even know anymore has become a meme and a phrase in Michigan.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even know my own memes, man. There's so many of them. So, yeah. So, Nima, how are you feeling about freedom in the world and Michigan?
Freedom in the world and Michigan. Well, I mean, in general, freedom is on the ropes. It feels like, you know, from a prima facie look at things, NSA spying Bradley Manning being tortured in a show trial manner to say, "I'm sorry, I hurt America." Of course, it's a fake. It's a tortured apology with the same credibility as a tortured confession or a tortured intelligence. But how sad is it that they trotted him out and forced him to do that? And then they're still most likely going to throw him in a cage for the rest of his life. But we'll get to that later.
Well, I have an interjection there while the cuss dump builds.
Okay.
You know, governments love to force people to apologize. And, you know, as anybody who's studied anything, including the 12 steps, knows, a forced apology isn't really an apology. It's no kind of amends. Like, the word amends means to make whole. It doesn't make anything whole. It's basically, it's what a bully does. A bully has such low self-esteem that he forces someone's face into the mud and then says, "Tell me you're sorry." And that's not a real apology. Governments love to do that. So if governments work the 12 steps, well, basically, if governments work the 12 steps correctly, they'd have to dissolve, because governments are based on doing harm to people, and harm is not good, and it requires an amends. But also, apologizing for somebody and making amends means that you don't do the same behavior again. And governments, if they didn't do the same behavior of threatening and coercing people to do their bidding, wouldn't really be governments. They'd be voluntary interactions. We got some voluntary interaction type people from Michigan here, but we're going to ask about if they've had any go for it, Nima.
Okay, I guess I'll ask about it. So who do we have? We have Chris on the line with us out there in Michigan, being a free person. Is that right, Chris?
Yes, it is. Howdy, Fiends. I'm calling in from the Mystery Mobile of Bad Quaker.
The Mystery Mobile.
The Rolling Stones mobile unit where he drives around the country solving mysteries with his wife in a van.
Yes, yes. And did you have scary run-ins with the evil people while you're running around solving mysteries with Mr. Stone?
Not too scary necessarily. I guess some folks with some shiny badges came around midnight last night to evidently tell us our conversational noise around fire was too much. It would be the Department of Hogs and Fish came by. There's no fishing involved. There's no hogs.
Did they use that terminology? Excuse me, sir. Your conversational noise is a little too many decibels there. Is that how they said it or what?
You know, I'm not sure. They hit us from a couple different sides. They came out to one of the campsites and talked to them, and then I heard about it as they came to our campsite on the other side across, like, I don't know, 100 yards or better. And evidently, the people across the lake could hear us talking on Friday night around a campfire, and that was that was too much.
Wow.
I think it has something to do with big black Gadsden flag that's floating on a pole, and the whole Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition name. So it just scares them.
The peace is scary to the government. They're like, "Oh my God, there's people talking about peace. We need to go up there with our guns and scare them." Yeah.
So what did you guys do? Did you give the cop any lip or what?
Well, it, you know, there was a whole range of things that were done that we kind of just laughed it off and they let us go. It wasn't too bad there. If they would have come about a half hour earlier, they may have found something that would have been a little bit more disheartening to them, though. There was a piece of parchment, you know, symbolic of some 200 and some odd years ago that had a bunch of signatures on it that was getting burned after coming from Portageon. So that might have set up a red flag.
Now, that's kind of interesting. I've never heard of anyone do that. I've heard of people burning the U.S. flag, which always struck me as weird, and why would you do that? But, you know, and I've heard people burning the U.N. flag, which kind of I like a little better. But, you know, the Constitution, to me, it seemed like a good idea, but, you know, like Lysander Spooner said 100 years ago when the U.S. Post Office put him out of business for starting a better post office. What is it? It's something like the Constitution has either was set up for this tyranny.
It's either enabled such a government as we have had or failed to stop it. Yeah. Either way, it's unfit to exist, I think was the gist of it.
Yeah. That's wonder how – I mean what would be the legal ramifications of burning a constitution? Would someone consider that renouncing your U.S. citizenship or you know, what is that? Well, what would that look like to them?
They changed the definitions of what everything means all the time, so it could have been considered renunciation to U.S. citizenship. I mean, going back to the whole flag burning idea, I think that's actually the proper way to retire a flag is burning it.
That is
right?
The interesting thing about it. Yeah, and you know what's interesting
is things that you can't do with a flag.
A lot of people who are flag wavers and put their flag out, you know, on special days, like a Catholic who only goes to, you know, only goes to church on the special days. You know, people, I see it all over my neighborhood or all over the America. People who put out flags don't know the flag code. And if, you know, when you buy a flag, it actually comes with a copy of the flag code. Like people leave it out all night without lighting it. That is being a bad American. If you're like, I'm so patriotic, I'm leaving my flag out 24/7. As soon as it's dusk, you're supposed to gently fold that flag up and put it away. And you are not being a good American if you leave it out overnight. I see all kinds of stuff like that. I see people like with their flags blowing against the house. That ain't good flag care. So the people who love these symbols don't really understand what you're even supposed to do if you love these symbols. So I don't know what the Constitution is these days.
Well, it's all about framing, too. Maybe you weren't burning the Constitution. You were cremating it because it's dead.
There you go.
This is true.
And it,
I'll tell you this, though. The Constitution does not taste very good. There was an instance of smoking tobacco in a Constitution, a piece of paper, anyways.
Okay.
You're out of rolling papers. Poison now, and I need to be cleansed or something.
Well, if you were actually using the poison. I am assuming you weren't using the actual original Constitution, but if you were, it is printed on sheep, which is kind of interesting. It's printed on vellum. It was written on vellum, which is the stretched, treated skin of a sheep.
Yeah, in fact, I'm wearing one of your buttons right now that explains that. I'm surprised you're able to fit such an explanation, such a button.
Man, button, it's really easy to write long treatises and manifestos, but nobody reads them. So I try to do stuff. And even like everyone who says the Constitution is great, I've read it. Have you read it? It basically says we can tax you and do whatever we want for your basic needs that we know better than you. So,
right.
But I'm more into button and bumper sticker length thoughts. And it's really hard to come up with good ones, man, especially that'll fit on a 1.125 inch button, man. Try it.
But buy sheep for sheep on sheep pretty much sums it up. So,
Ben Quaker
well done.
Helped me with that. And we're going to have Ben Stone on later. So
yes, and speaking of the Constitution and what it actually says, I was going back, you know, because I've been caught up on my Ben Stone for the past week. And so I went back and heard one that I hadn't heard in a while that was just wonderful about the, quote, founding fathers and how there's really no such thing and how the Constitution was pretty much written closed doors. Nobody was allowed to take notes. And there were only seven or eight guys that were a crossover between the original Declaration of Independence and that actual Constitutional Convention. And they were all guys you hadn't heard of. They weren't Thomas Jefferson
you know what,
or anybody
too?
Like that.
There's a famous story that patriots love to say about when Ben Franklin came out when they were done writing it and some commoner lady said to him, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government do we have? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. You know, and that's like this great moment in American history. But when you think about it, the fact that they were doing it behind closed doors, that's the 1776 equivalent of Nancy Pelosi saying, we'll pass the bill and then you can read it.
And then you can read it. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Yeah, yeah. Ben, hopefully we can ask him about that. A little reprise, if you will, since the conversation has led us there and the Constitution has been cremated in effigy.
And, you know, I'm definitely not anti-Constitution. I wish it worked. But if it worked, we wouldn't have the NSA spying on us. We wouldn't have people being pulled over at a party and on land where there's no one around being told, you're being too loud in your conversation while camping. You know what Thomas Jefferson would have done if he was camping and someone came up and said, you're being too loud? He would have shot them. And I'm not saying that's the thing to do, but if you really believe in the founding fathers, that's what they would have done.
Well, he would have had his slave shoot.
Yeah. So, Chris, give us one more feisty little bit there and then put Lou back on, please.
All right. Yeah, no problem. So we went out and about in the community today off the campgrounds into the city of Brighton, small quaint town, where we found somebody with a sign in front of a CVS trying to impeach Obama. So we couldn't help but go and talk to the individual and his associate there. They went on to give us a whole spiel about why Obama's a warmonger, yada, 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 and how he should be more like JFK. And we really tried addressing the point that it wasn't just replacing the chief on top there. It's something more systematic than that if he can go down the list of all these people that are terrible. And so his response to us, though, after a long pause, and we thought he was thinking really hard on it, he looks us square in the eyes and says, what do you want here, anarchy? No.
And to be clear,
serious. It's kind of scary.
To be clear, you weren't trying to say Obama's a good guy. You agreed with him that Obama's a bad guy, but you were basically saying replace him with what? Romney?
Yeah, that was the crux of it all. There was, what are you going to replace him with? Obviously, it's not the individual. It's something that's the system that's causing an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So after you said, "What do you want here? Anarchy?" What did you say?
Well, he said that, and we kind of we said yeah, and he just his mouth hit the floor. He couldn't go on after that.
Did he run away? Crying, mommy?
No, he instantly tried to scramble for a good bit to throw back at us. He goes, "Well, you ever heard of the British East India Company?" I said, "Yeah, actually, I do know quite a bit about the British East India Company." He goes, "Well, do you know what their biggest threat was? It was China protecting their people from the opium trade, and that was evidently the biggest threat there." So that was all he could do, is try to cite some historical reference.
Well,
that was totally erroneous.
And
that was his backpedal.
They were the China East India Company. I mean, basically those two corporations were the first corporations ever, and they only could do the tyrannical things they could do because they were backed by the government. And really, the Boston Tea Party was kind of the Occupy Wall Street of its day. It was saying, we don't like corporatism. And a lot of right wingers hate Occupy Wall Street. I just think Occupy Wall Street is occupying the wrong thing. Like, Wall Street is bad, but it's the shadow of the monster. They should be occupying the Federal Reserve or Congress.
Yeah, that was definitely it. I mean, that was the only thing that could have kept the British East India Company going was the government in the first place. So I'm back to the source of the problem here.
Yeah.
So I got Lou back here.
All right. Put Lou on. Lou Sander Fiend. Hey. What's up?
I have some feisty macho libertarian flash for you.
Go for it.
After Mr. Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it, the woman actually said, but we already have 13 republics. Why are you going to communize it into one?
So you were there, you were filming that with your little Zoom H2?
Yes. You Lou is actually a vampire. He's almost 300 years old.
All right. We'll be back with more Lou and Ben Stone on The Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1.
Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
NSA. NSA. No, it's the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. It's our live Saturday show. It's August 17th. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've got Michael W. Dean. It's the local scrutinizer. The local scrutinizer. Yeah, you're not good at keeping secrets at all, sir.
Shh. But, okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah. Okay. It was my fault. But yeah, we are still in our respective locations, but we're still connected to the good folks out there in Michigan who are doing their anti-Department of Fish and Hogs rally. Or wait, no. It's just a general liberty-loving love fest, Woodstock for freedom
lovers. It's the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest in Howell, that's Michigan. It. Uh-oh, I gave away their location. They didn't have their location easily accessible.
Well, they wanted to be undisclosed, didn't they?
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Yep. Freedom for us.
So we got, are we going to have Lou back on here?
Lou, yes. Lou?
Hey, Lou. Lou, what's up?
Well, let me give you a little rundown of the festival. We have a 20 by 40 tent set up in the center of the campground area is the spontaneous order tent. Instead of Pork Fest where you have things scheduled, there's a whiteboard up and people can say that they want to talk about this at such and such a time, how long it's going to take. I believe there's going to be a guy discussing permaculture.
So you're,
we
you're
may
not,
draft Ben into speaking.
You're not having the Libertarian Central Planning Commission, the Soviet Central Planning Commission.
It is centrally unplanned or decentrally unplanned.
Why, that sounds like anarchy. What keeps everything from happening at once? That's what I want to know.
Individual tastes. There's some people that are going off swimming. There's some people that are going off hiking. There are some people that are going on a walk on the trail. Some people are just sitting around shooting the bull with each other. Some people are cooking wings all day long. You know, it's individual taste. And if there's if there's something going on in the spontaneous order tent that people want to go check out, then they go check it out. If they're not interested, then they do their own thing. No guns are drawn. No shots are fired.
Nice. Nice.
Excellent local proof. Was that a planned concept? was the planning of the unplanning planned? Or did that spontaneously exist as well?
We planned it out very thoroughly. But one thing I do want to say, and this is a great bunch of folks that are out here. A handful of them I know personally. Some I know from the internets. We have folks from upstate New York, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's just the local folks that came out here. And it's just such a great it's a great bunch of people. We're having a blast, and it's awesome. For those that couldn't get here this year, hope to see you out here next year. And you know, we're probably going to have a fishing derby later on this afternoon with the kids. And you know what we're using for bait?
The Constitution.
Worms.
Worms. That's awesome. Thanks, man. Is Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, available? Emotionally available? Hey, Ben.
I'm here as well.
Ben, tell us what time it is. Tell us what's up.
I think it's about 5 minutes till the hour, but so the sun is up.
Now, how is Michigan East Coast time? I look at a map and I'm like, it looks like it's in the middle, man. But it's East Coast time, and I know that from calling radio stations nonstop.
It's the force of government.
Why do you think they did that?
Say that again?
I think they did that to put Detroit on the same time as D.C., I'll bet you. I'll bet you that's how that happened.
That's actually quite likely. Is Chicago Central time, or is it?
Chicago Central.
Detroit is Eastern, so it's an effort to separate the two cities, because if they didn't, if those two cities would ever combine their strengths, the world would never be the same.
They wouldn't have needed D.C. Yeah, those two cities used to really be the thing, man. I mean, Detroit was like the richest city in America 50 years ago, and it had the highest standard of living, and now it is the poorest with the lowest standard of living, and that's what government intervention does. And we're going to have more with Ben Stone and Nima Vidati and the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest in Howell, Michigan on the Freedom Fiends when we come back after these messages from the sponsors. Yes. What do you think?
I want to get Ben to give us a brief lesson, a short lesson plan of his podcast about founding fathers. What is? Because there really was no such thing. And I never heard it put as succinctly as Ben did in his cast. So I'm going to have him tailor that down even more if I can with some good questions. And stick with the Freedom
Fiends. You're basically saying, Freebird, play the hits.
Play the free. Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
cool.
You want to stick around for that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Worms. The Freedom
Fiends. Worms, fish, and hogs.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Sticking with us, this is hour two of the Live Talk Radio Show on Saturday, August 17th, 2013. I, as hopefully you know, am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there. How you doing, Mr. Michael?
I'm sitting here being the local scrutinizer trying to organize the description of the Freeform Fun. We had discussions during the break, and I'm like, no, it has to go in this direction because this is more non-planned.
this is less planned.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's do that then. Let's see where we can go with this. You don't want to hear lesson.
Here's my thought was, you know, we kind of teased before the break in the first hour of since we have Ben Stone, who is a great man, and you know, according to the great man theory, you have to ask great men great questions, and you were going to ask him a great question about you know, something about the geopolitical history of these United States or something. And I was like, these guys are at a party. That'd be kind of like calling up, you know, your professor on his cell phone while he's at the Kickspit Music Festival and saying, so can you give me that lesson you gave me last week again? And I said,
But that's the beauty of Ben, though,
right,
is he makes learning fun.
He does.
What do you do at parties, man? You get a little, you know, you have fun.
Get a little happy.
Get a little happy. And often at parties, it would, I don't know if devolve is the word, but I would end up in philosophical discussions. And, you know, because it'd be fun to try to pin people on their inconsistencies. And I got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're all on the same page here. So I don't know if that would happen or either of us would get a kick out of that. But,
well, I'm not saying we can't.
You are saying. You just said like four things, man.
Well, I'm not saying we – well, see, I was going somewhere with this, and we have this thing on the Fiends where I'm supposed to like psychically tell you when I'm going somewhere with it. And this is a learning hospital, and we try to teach people how to do good radio even when I'm screeching and people would say it's bad radio. But some people say that's good radio because conflict is the essence of drama. What I was going to say – is I was just letting the listeners in on the discussion that we had when they weren't listening. And I was going to say, I'm probably wrong and we probably should ask Ben to drop some mad science, even though he's in the middle of a raging party at the Kickspit Michigan. No, it's the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. So, Ben, Nima has a question for you about founding fathers. Go for it, Nima.
Ben, you helped to break the paradigm so well and so much that you do. And I re-listened, or I guess I didn't re-listen, but I was going through the catalog and I came across a gem that I had missed called You Call These Founding Fathers. It was, I guess, podcast 327. And it just blew my mind. I knew that, you know, there wasn't one conglomeration of people that you could call the founding fathers and that they did all the work. I knew that. And I knew that they weren't all on the same page and that it wasn't a homogenous thing. But I didn't know that the crossover between the Declaration and the actual Constitution Convention was so tiny and so full of names that are just completely unknown to the American public. How did they pull the wool over enough people's eyes to where nobody knows that? Even people who fancy themselves as knowing a little bit about liberty and the origins of the nation. How did you find this great mad science to drop? And why don't more people know this?
Well, very often it's the case that you have to attribute something like that to Boston Tea Party, to the author Boston Tea Party. But also... And that was one of my first hints and put me in the right direction looking. And then you also remember that I believe it was Napoleon and probably 50 other people said that history is written by the winners. So had George Washington and Alexander Hamilton's little coup not worked out the way they had planned, you know, we would remember the whole thing differently. Maybe we'd remember Alexander Hamilton and George Washington being arrested for the coup that they pulled off to try to take over the government. Or maybe it would be in some other direction. But essentially, that's what happened. George Washington, I wouldn't say was the head of it, really. I wouldn't think that he was the mastermind. I would put that more in Hamilton's court and some of his cronies that worked with him. But yeah, there was almost no crossover between the original signers of the Declaration of Independence and those people who ratified the Constitution. I believe there was something like 8 people out of something like 50-some that actually attended the Constitutional Convention that were signers of the original Declaration of Independence. One of them made excuses to leave, and the others were not happy about being there. So there was very little crossover between the two groups of people. And as Boston Tea Party has said, they weren't really founding fathers. They were really, you know, founding lawyers is the terminology he uses.
Yeah. And I think it's so important because statism is a religion and it's built on a myth. And this is another great example of that fact that you can point out to people when they try to come at your principled arguments with all this civics lesson stuff that they learned from their high school football coach. And you can say, hey, well, you know what? There are no founding fathers. This is what happened when the Constitution was written. A bunch of people locked the doors, didn't let any notes. There was no transparency. It wasn't the American people deciding. It wasn't we, the people, deciding on this great day what our new government will be for the ages. No, it was exactly as you stated it, a coup.
It really was, and you can even find some roots of it in an organization that still exists. I shouldn't get too specific over the radio because we don't want to slander anyone and have GCN responsible for it. But there is legitimate organizations that still exist that the founding members of that literally sat down and said, "What should a government be like?" It should be like this with George Washington as the head, and he should be president for life.
So,
there?
Ben, yeah. Well, where can we go? I mean, obviously the task is upon us to let everybody know this, shout it from the rooftops as much as we can. How is the Bad Quaker podcast doing? Are people – I see that, you know, you've got your new logo, which is amazing, by the way. What is the reception? And you're out and about all the time. You know, me and Michael, we kind of stay in our enclave and do everything from the internet. But you actually get to get out there at places like this Michigan Liberty Festival. What are the man on the streets? Are they responsive to this now?
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun here. It's really neat, you know, all the different people getting together and things like this and Porkfest. And, you know, I haven't made it out to Libertopia, probably won't, but that's the same kind of a thing that's coming up in San Diego real soon. It's really neat to connect with people and hear what they're saying, and really just, you know, I like to just sit and listen to other people talk in events like this, as much as possible, and not really try to, you know, take over anything or whatever. But, it's really fun to get with people and hear what they're saying and just listen to, you know, what their perspectives on these things are.
Worms.
And plus, you know, we have the midnight naked swim contest as well. So, you know, you got that going for you.
Is it a contest? Who's judging it? Are you participant or are you judging it?
Whoever has the longest beard wins.
The longest beard. Okay. You need a little longer of a pause actually. Between. Yeah.
We had that contest in Pennsylvania, but it's multiple. There's different things, like there's long distance swimming naked, and there's naked diving, and there's naked swing diving, you know, from a tree swing. Everything's happening here. And of course, everything I just said is a lie. So
you sold it really well, though. You didn't break character, which is the first rule. So kudos to you, Ben.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's a lot of freedom, but it's reserved.
All right. Good times. Well, Ben, what else you got for us? What are you working on now? Are you got some great ideas for upcoming cast? Or are you going to keep doing your war series or your civil disobedience series? Or do you have any other series planned?
I have two more podcasts that I need to do on the civil disobedience series. And that's one of the more popular of the series, I think, that I've done. With the war series, you know, I thought I was done with it. And then one morning I woke up and realized that it was the anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki. And I just had to say something about it. And, you know, I haven't actually done anything. I could do at least two more on the war series, one specifically in regards to the Spanish-American War and what led up to the horrible slaughter in places like the Philippines and so forth. And I really think the Vietnam War needs to be visited in a very specific way. So I think there's a possibility that there's more to come on the war series as well.
Right. I was listening to Bob Higgs talk recently, not in person, but through audio in my earbuds. And basically the gist of his hour-long speech was, you know, it's not just that the state is impractical or that it's not the best situation, but it is a danger to humanity, maybe the biggest danger to humanity that man has ever faced. It's a fire that needs to be put out, doused. Do you share that belief?
Absolutely. I think within any species, there is a danger of any species of getting into a situation where the species is dependent upon something that will cause the death of the species. That can be like if a species is, let's say panda bears are completely dependent upon one plant to live, well, then the odds are the panda bears are not going to make it. They're going to go extinct. We can make all the efforts that we can, but in all likelihood, you know, unless there's a lot of maintenance involved, panda bears are going to go extinct. Well, the idea of the state, the idea that we need a government is like that for the human species. It is literally something that, taken to its logical end, will destroy humanity at least.
Yeah, I mean, take it to its logical end, it's basically North Korea. You know, if you want a government sponsored paradise, move to North Korea. And I do want to point out a definition here. On the Fiends, when we say the state, we're not talking about Wyoming, we're not talking about Texas. We're not picking on America. We pick on America a lot because we live here. If we lived in England, we'd be picking on England a lot more. But when we say the state, we mean any government anywhere, from, like, you know, the Mills City Council in Wyoming to the United Nations and everything in between, right? We don't mean any particular state. We mean
the mind state. We mean, yeah, exactly. The concept that government is there as a necessary, not even a necessary evil, but just as something that is part of society, that needs to be part of society. That's what I consider the state, is that concept. Thank you so much, Ben Stone, and thank you so much, all our folks out there in Michigan.
Worms.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
All right, Freedom Fiends. It is Nima Vedati. This is Freedom Fiends live radio talk show. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in the YO. What's up, Mr. Dean?
Yeah. I'm good, man. I'm good. That was really fun having our friends and new friends that we hadn't met yet on from Michigan, from Ben Stone's replication of the Rolling Stones mobile recording studio.
Get up. Party time. Exactly.
Yeah, that was possibly, except for the first segment, which was on a cell phone, that was possibly the best audio I've ever heard on a remote radio live interview at an event that wasn't being done by Free Talk Live or like CNN, you know?
Right. By just the fiends. I guess we're not just the fiends, but by the fiends.
We're the fiends. Interfacing with Ben Stone, who I have taught well. My first interaction with Ben Stone was listening to his podcast and being like, man, you're, and I wrote him and I said, you are one of the smartest guys out there, but your audio is horrible. Let me help you. And he did not write back. And a month later, I sent him the same email and he wrote back. And, you know, he didn't know me from Adam. He was kind of like, who is this guy? What's he bothering me with? And, you know, it worked to like, me advising Ben on equipment, him getting better equipment, me teaching him to use it, and us becoming really good friends where we talk on the phone every day. And we made an offer to Larkin Rose about a year ago. Larkin Rose is another great liberty thinker, but his videos don't sound very good. And I wrote to him and said, you know, the fiends will buy you a lavalier clip-on microphone, because he does these interviews where he's like 20 feet away from the camera and the video looks great. He's sitting on a rock in the woods talking about feisty libertarian stuff that doesn't sound like someone sitting in the woods. Usually it's the kind of stuff you hear from a windowless bunker in someone's ammo room, but it's like he looks like this wise young hobbit sitting on a rock in Middle Earth. And but the audio is horrible because it's the mic on the camera 20 feet away. So I wrote to him and said, we'll buy you a mic. And he said, well, I'd love to take you up on that, but there's no input on this cheap camera for a mic. But
yeah,
he recently got a better mic or better camera, with an input hole. And he wrote to us and said, I'll take that mic now. And it was kind of funny because I didn't have any money at that moment and I was flush when I made the offer. So I'm sending him my mic and the fiends are going to buy me a new mic when we get some money. And you can donate to the fiends. If you go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post, you can donate with cash or with Bitcoin. So do that. But
the fiend money's kind of fungible. So it's like you're also donating to Larkin Rose by proxy. Ooh. Just like when you pay taxes, you were also donating to all those tyrants in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's just like that, except there's no gun to your head and they won't take your home. They won't take we won't take your home if you don't know, give us money.
I forgot about that part. I guess I didn't realize how
tiny
important
difference.
Voluntary.
Well, they say that they say taxes are voluntary, but
the IRS goes and buys a bunch of fully automatic weapons. So,
well, and you know, if they're voluntary, why did Larkin Rose spend a year in federal minimum security prison for taxes for willful failure to fill out papers?
Because it's voluntary in the sense that you have a choice, right? That's what democracy is about. You can choose to pay your taxes, or you can choose to go to prison. You know, it's like Futurama.
It's
freedom
of choice. Well,
that's the pain monster or paying your taxes.
The kind of interesting thing is there are some countries where they will jail you for, you know, writing an article or writing a blog criticizing the government. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the more severe countries like China or Russia. However, there are countries like North Korea and Cuba where they actually don't have laws against that because no one would dare try it. It's called it's called the Castro effect. And Nancy Pelosi is working on trying to do that. Or is it Nancy Pelosi or the other one? I'm sure they're both in.
I think
on
it was Dianne Feinstein you're thinking of. Yeah, she wanted to she's floating a bill now to where they want to define journalists so that people who aren't real journalists don't have the same protections and privacy and being able to refuse to talk in court and incriminate sources or tell who their sources are. There are protections built in that. As somebody on posting on Ben Swan's site, I forget the name of
it was Michael Lotfi, who is a Persian-American political commentator, just like you and the Iron Sheik, although he was fictitious. And there really aren't
as he said, no there's already
there's no sheiks in
Iran. But as he says, there's already a protection for journalists of every stripe. It's called the First Amendment, Mrs. Feinstein.
Basically, what Mrs. Feinstein wants to do is remove the Shield Law, which is the thing that protect, you know, when a journalist in a movie, when you see a journalist say, "I'm not revealing my sources," they're using the Shield Law. But Feinstein is saying that will not apply to anyone who's not from an authorized mainstream media outlet. She basically wants to eliminate.
We'll talk more about the definition, actually, because it's pretty interesting here. So stick with us, fiends.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, it's the Freedom Fiends. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean. We're talking about Dianne Feinstein. Ew.
Oh, you can't cuss on radio. You just cussed on radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said the D.
We should have hit the dump.
You said the Dianne F word.
The Dianne
That's not suitable for children. You can't say Dianne.
That's a very prurient thing to talk about.
Feinstein. Man. Oh, I'm sorry. I said it too. Ugh.
Yes.
Dock my pay. I cussed.
Do people like her? I mean, I don't get it. She stood with whatever military goon was on MSNBC complaining about Edward Snowden and said, "Yes, I agree with him completely." I mean, I thought she was supposed to be like a Democrat. Is that really what Democrats stand for now?
It is demolishing
your freedom, but openly, because I feel like they used to at least pay lip service to civil liberties.
I know.
Did that stop?
I know. And I wrote an article a while back complaining, where is the anti-war left? Because when I was growing up, you know, the cool people were Democrats and the old square mean people were Republicans. I mean, that was my childish view of it. But the first part of it had a basis. Well, they both had a basis. But, you know, the Democrats, anti-war, care about other people, steal money at the government gun to help the poor. But, you know, there was always the thing of, like, if you were against, you know, like the Republicans spy on people, like Nixon, he spied on people. Democrats are good. That used to be the thing. And it's like, I'm sure that it was not the thing, but it was the public face of it. And they've just given up on that. And to answer your question, you know, are the kids supporting Feinstein? Do they like her? I honestly don't know because I am so allergic to true believer statism, whether it's left or right, but especially the left wing variety. It's so distasteful to me that I don't talk to those people or listen to them, so I don't know what they think. I don't even look at their websites. They scare me too much.
Yes, yes. So this thing that she's pimping and pushing now is, I guess, Senate Bill 987, the Free Flow of Information Act. How is that for an Orwellian
title? Man?
Yeah. But this
it's the Stop the Free Flow of Information Act.
Exactly.
Like, in the same way that the Patriot Act was the Put Patriots in Prison Act.
Right, right. So Senator Feinstein, according to who is it? Michael Lofty, was that his name? This is a great report here.
His name is Michael Lofty.
Yes. Mike. Oh, that's an Indian accent. Come on, I'm sorry. That's racist.
Okay, you do it in a Persian accent since you grew up around one.
I'm bad at Persian accent. My dad's accent sounds Jamaican, so I can't even really do a Persian accent.
All right.
But Feinstein says that she's concerned that this would provide special legal privilege to those who are not reporters at all. You know, basically referring to people like Snowden, whistleblowers, bloggers, talk radio people.
Did she say that, or is she just saying this is to prevent another Snowden?
She doesn't say that, but that's basically what you get the gist, because if you look into the law more, it breaks down that they want to define what a journalist is.
Yeah, it should be really called the Jail the Freedom Fiends and Alex Jones Act. Right. That's what they're trying to do, really.
So the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, didn't you – you interviewed for the Gumbo once, the guy
who was one
of the founders?
I tried.
Oh, you tried?
Okay. I tried. Okay. He didn't – he just didn't return my email.
But this law, according to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, they broke it down and they say these are going to be the three requirements for you to get some kind of, quote, protection and be a, quote, covered person if you're doing journalism or any kind of media work, it seems like. One, you would have to be working as a salaried employee, independent contractor, or agent of an entity that disseminates news or information. You would have to contribute for a 3-month period within the 2 years prior to the relevant date.
Ah, so you don't even get covered your first 3 months, even if you're working for MSNBC. And I doubt that apparently they would cover Fox News with this. They want them to go away.
Yes. You would have to be substantially contributing as an author, editor, photographer, or producer to a significant number of articles. Now, think about the vagary of this language to where they can get anybody. They can say, well, 50 articles in 2 years, that's really not a lot. Yeah. I don't think that's a significant number.
Basically, she wants to do Soviet-style licensing of journalists in the, and it's, you know, the way they do things in America, they say, oh, you're free. You don't need to be a license to be a journalist like you do in Chile or in, you know, North Korea. But basically the thing is, we'll find a way to throw you in jail if you don't comply. Right. That's the American way of freedom.
Well, and also tying it to your income, how scary is that? I mean, what are you supposed to do? The IRS is going to confirm or deny your ability to be protected as a journalist?
Well, yeah.
You're going to have to show your W-2.
The IRS are the new enforcers, and they're arming IRS agents for Obamacare because they're expecting mass noncompliance. They're arming them with those 40 cal Glocks that they bought all the billets for, and they are arming some of them with ARs and teaching them. They're doing drills with IRS teams to basically shoot at barricaded people. And we saw those targets where they have, you know, normal looking folk in their home, including pregnant women and old ladies as targets that police are training with. I mean, it's hard to say that there's a overwhelming conspiracy to me, but all of the indicators of it are there, of they're planning something horrible, you know. And I think that what they're planning is Hillary Clinton being president in 2016. I think that's almost inevitable because the Republicans can't get their act together and they're doing ridiculous things like saying, oh, we're not going to let the mainstream news run the debates. We're going to let Rush Limbaugh run them. And, you know, like centrist political observers are saying basically like, yeah, that will absolutely hand it to the Democrats. And they can't get a charismatic puppet. They can't pick one, you know. They don't want Rand Paul because he's too freaky and weird and kind of sounds like his dad a little bit. And they don't want Chris Christie because he irks people. And they're, you know, the Bobby Jindal, people are like, well, is he white? I don't know. I can't vote for him. He looks Middle Eastern. No, he's Indian, man. But they don't know what to do. And Hillary Clinton will probably be the next president of the United States, and things will probably get a lot worse before they get better. They're trying to take our guns away and make it illegal to blog about that we don't like. They're taking our guns away, basically.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Lofty in his article, or Lotfi, says he's not even certain after researching the law that he would be protected or Ben Swan would be protected at BenSwan.com. Go check out our interview of Ben Swan. It's a really great one. But Ben Swan basically worked for more than a decade. What is it, like 18 years? Doing the normal mainstream media thing in TV news. Scott Horton called him the best local TV journalist
he's
ever
seen. But I'm sure he wouldn't be covered once he's left, which would encourage, which would legally almost force people people to not leave the suckling booby of the mainstream media.
Yes.
And the mainstream media is a lot more controllable than the internet. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to another comment of the only ones who can have liberty and power. The, you know, the politicians, left wing and right wing, but in this case, left wing, John Kerry recently said the internet makes it much harder to govern and organize people. And that's ridiculous because the internet's all about people self-organizing them, you know, themselves. And the line of the internet makes it much harder to govern. The freedom fiends look at that and say, excellent, excellent. It's working.
It's working. Exactly. And Kerry is saying it. Let's read Kerry's whole quote here so you have the context, because this isn't even taken out of any context. Like, we're not trying to pin him on something he said off the hand. This was the concept was,
and it was recent.
It's real hard to control people now, folks, saying to a group of State Department lackeys here. This is the whole chunk. He says, I'm a student of history, and I love to go back and read a particularly great book like Kissinger's about diplomacy, where you think about the 18th and 19th centuries and the balance of power and how difficult it was for countries to advance their interests in years of wars. And sometimes we say to ourselves, boy, aren't we lucky. Well, folks, ever since the end of the Cold War, forces have been unleashed that were tamped down for centuries by dictators, and that was complicated further by this little thing called the internet and the ability of people everywhere to communicate instantaneously and have more information coming at them in one day than most people can process in months or a year. It makes it much harder to govern, makes it much harder to organize people, much harder to find the common interest.
So he's trying to protect us from information overload by wanting to pick and choose and be the gatekeeper. You know, basically what he's saying here is that before mass media, it was really hard to govern because, like, even if there was a new king, the peasant, you know, 400 miles away didn't even know he had a new king. Whereas once there was radio and TV largely controlled by the government, it was easier to govern. But then it reached a tipping point to where there was too much access and the peasants got access, and that's not good. So he's wanting to go back to when America was good in 1960, in the 60s during the Vietnam War, when, you know, there was suddenly live coverage of everything and government had absolute control to it.
Right, right. Well, you could see in this statement here exactly one of the biggest problems with statism and statists is they want people to know less. They want there to be less truth in the world, less information. And you can sort of get a sense of exactly what they're after there. Why on earth would any rational person want there to be less information in the world or have information be less known by people? What would motivate somebody to do that? Other than being able to control somebody, because knowledge is power, the state wants to reduce the amount of power that the average person has so they can be the ones controlling it.
He's basically saying to a group of like junior tyrants or assistant tyrants or deputy assistant tyrants, he's telling them, oh no, the peasants can all talk to each other now. What are we going to do about this?
You know what? It reminds me of the fact that it was so egregious to teach a slave to read and write.
Ah,
right?
Yes.
Because that was the power. We did a podcast called Teaching the Slaves to Read, where we kind of touched on this, and this is exactly what the modern state does, but to everybody who's not part of their tiny cabal of the politically connected.
Yeah.
And I don't mean cabal in the sense of some shadow government. I mean the people out in the open, your public officials, they consider themselves the Ubermensch, some kind of upper standing, and they're the ones who know what's best for us. And yeah, they'll give us the chitlins and the chicken wings, but we better keep our mouths shut and not learn too much and do our work.
Yeah, and it does kind of seem very coordinated, too. I mean, you've got him saying the slaves are talking to each other. They might not. They're talking about how they don't like our slave mastering. And then over on the other coast, you've got Feinstein trying to basically outlaw the slaves talking to each other through backdoor methodologies. And then we found this thing that we're going to talk about when we get back. Newly discovered gun control playbook codifies the strategy of blood dance, which is what David Kadria and Mike V's concept. They describe it as the blood dance, which is when someone dies, they trot out pictures of dead children and use it for political advantage. And that's actually covered in that show House of Cards, where they're like all the teachers are on strike and the assistant to the congressman is looking for a murdered child to use for his political advantage.
Disgusting. We'll have more on The Fiends.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Love The Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread The Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Worms, it's the Freedom Fiends. Yeah, nice and slow. Don't you like that? Dig that? That's some Michael Dean on the bass and guitar, and I think me on the electronic drums.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to get into some more stuff here. We're going to issue the Fiends Tweak in review for today.
Yeah, we got breaking tyranny news. We found the playbook. Actually, David Kadria found the playbook of how they spin the deaths of children for political advantage. Now, we're looking at this PDF called Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging. I thought it said massaging at first. Massaging
the
truth.
That's basically it. Yeah, same concept.
And it's produced by KNP Communications and Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. Now, we looked these websites up. KNP Communications is literally, their address is on K Street in Washington, D.C., which is, you know, the K Street, I can't even fill in the word there, it's radio, but, you know, it is where the lobbyists all hang out. It is, you know, it is to telling politicians how to steal more effectively. K Street is what Wall Street is to robbing the American people blind. So,
right. The vultures that feed on the leftovers that the predatory state leaves on
the
ground.
Yes. And KNP Communications looks like they're basically just a how to present media to the public consultancy. But the other one,
Greenberg.
Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research.
Yes.
They, first of all, a lot of these people will work for the left or the right. This one only works for the left. And they have insanely 1984 stuff. Like they have a campaign they did. It's a picture of Obama saying, "I'm with the middle class." And anyone who knows anything about Obama's policies knows that that ain't true, man. He's for Wall Street and he is destroying the middle class in the process. And, you know, they've done campaigns for Rahm Emanuel and the Michigan Democratic Party and the Democratic Congressional Campaign. They have Vice President Al Gore, Walter Mondale. Basically, these people have helped with the campaigns of every gun grabber in America, it looks like, or all the ones we've heard of. They have this PDF, it's, you know, 40, 50 pages, called Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging. Now, we're just kidding. We only have time to read the bullet points in this, but we're looking at it. So, overall messaging guidance, key messaging principles. One, always focus on emotional and value-driven arguments about gun violence, not the political food fight in Washington or wonky statistics. Wonky. In other words,
this is a wonk paper.
Yes.
But that's what this is. It's a wonk paper.
Yeah.
They want wonky emotional appeals rather than wonky statistics, apparently.
Yeah. Right, number two, tell stories with images and feelings. Oh, number three is great, Nima. Read number three.
Claim moral authority and the mantle of freedom. Now, here they bring out an interesting concept. They talk about the freedom to be free of gun violence, basically. which is a positive freedom. You don't have a freedom to have people not do something around you. You have the freedom to attempt to avoid those areas, or the freedom to protect yourself in any way appropriate. But they're mutually exclusive, right? The state can't enforce the positive right of we have the right to be free of anything bad.
And here's
taking
how
away
they,
the rights of people to defend themselves.
Here's how they frame this. They say the NRA likes to talk about its work as the defense of American freedom. Recognize that, but depending on your audience, both sides of the debates have the opportunity to claim moral authority, but don't yield that ground. Fight for it by emphasizing that a reckless disregard for the gun violence that plagues so many people's lives is morally bankrupt and doesn't have anything to do with protecting freedom. So basically they're saying, don't let those people say they're the true Americans with guns because they have guns. Say that the true Americans are the people that only want the government to have guns and to have those guns go after people who own guns peacefully.
Wow. Wow. Number four, emphasize that extraordinarily dangerous military style weapons are now within easy reach across America.
Five, emphasize that America has weak gun laws and don't assume that people know that. In other words, tell them what you want them to hear. America does not have weak gun laws. It's got thousands upon thousands of gun laws, and they throw people in the prison all the time for having guns when they're not violent people.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I just think of all the felons that I know people who've come across who are in hiring positions. All the felons they come across that would be great applicants, but they have a felony on their record just because they were carrying their gun in the wrong place at the wrong time, but completely peaceful people otherwise. Gun laws ruin people's lives, and they ruin the economy. And go ahead and stick with us this weekend. We'll be back tomorrow on Sunday for Freedom
Thank
Fiends
you
Live.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.